in Scripture from where we left off last week. You remember we talked about Jesus being the door of the sheep, and the shepherding was part of that. Now he goes on from John 10, 11 through to verse 30. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves his sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down. I have authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father. There was again a division among the Jews because of these words. Many of them said, he has a demon and is insane. Why listen to him? Others said, these are not the words of one who is oppressed by a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind? At that time, the feast of dedication took place at Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was walking in the temple, in the colonnade of Solomon. So the Jews gathered around him and said to him, how long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name bear witness about me, but you do not believe because you are not among my sheep. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one. Christ's claim to be the good shepherd has been a source of comfort and assurance to believers down through the centuries. It's one of the best metaphor images of his care for us, of his availability to us, and of his guiding us. Remember, I said last week that with cattle, ranchers drive cattle, but shepherds lead sheep. They're not wimpy because they protect them. That's why they have both a rod and a staff. But they don't drive sheep, they lead sheep. And so the image of Christ being our shepherd is very deliberately chosen by God to speak to us about the kind of care he has for us. However, having said that, when he made the claim, some of his hearers were so incensed that they tried to kill him. Okay, so again, this kind of statement he made in the context of the time in which he lived caused a great reaction and opposition, once again showing the challenge and controversial nature of his claims. Is that really much different than today? You can have a conversation with almost anyone about God, because they're redefining God in whatever way they decide. But as soon as you talk about the exclusivity of Jesus Christ, and that he's the Lord of this world, and that you must believe in him, all of a sudden, it's a cold shoulder, isn't it? Or an icy feeling comes into the room, or something far more nefarious in terms of happens, in terms of dynamic. So it's been the same all through history. The claims of Christ create problems for those who reject them. So I want to talk this morning from this passage about three things about the Good Shepherd. And the first one, as you'll see from your notes, is the unique character of the Good Shepherd. The unique character of Good Shepherd. He says, I am the shepherd. And the key here is the. He's not saying, I am a shepherd. He is, I am the shepherd. This is the one, I'm the one you must have. Yeah. Now, guys like me are considered under shepherds. Okay. But we are not the shepherd. And you must never look to your pastor or your elders as those people who are ultimately your shepherds. They are under shepherds. They have to be come through the right place, as we talked about last week, through the gate of Christ. But ultimately, they are to lead you to the shepherd who takes care of you, who has far more resources than any of us ever do. Now, one little side, because it's not in my notes. Note that he talks about the shepherd and the hireling. I, in my lifetime as being a pastor, have seen a lot of pastoral hirelings. What you want, both now and in the days to come, is a pastoral shepherd. Someone who is invested the same way Christ is invested, not someone who sees it as a job. And the training that's happening to me today teaches you to be a CEO, not to be a shepherd. Anyway, I am the shepherd, the shepherd. I am the shepherd, the good. The word here is kalos in Greek. The shepherd who, first of all, cares deeply about the sheep. Verses 12 and 13. He was a hired hand and not a shepherd who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. He cares deeply about his sheep, and he does not run away when difficulty comes. Secondly, the shepherd who gives totally for the sheep. And he says that three times. Verse 11, verse 15, and verse 17. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Verse 15. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And again, verse 17. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. It's interesting we use that, you look at that, and the day after we have thought about Ada Blanchard. It's pretty clear that she cared about others at great cost to herself. That's the idea of laying down your life for those you serve. Jesus Christ says, I'm the shepherd who lays down my life for the sheep. I willingly give it up. That's the reason he left heaven to come to earth. That's the reason he went to the cross, even though on the night before he was crucified, he says, my God, can this cup pass? This isn't much fun. He sweats drops of blood in the garden. But the commitment level as being a shepherd was such that three times in this passage is, I lay down my life for the sheep. So the character of the good shepherd, he is the shepherd. He's the good shepherd. So what are the claims then? The unique claims of the good shepherd. He makes a number in this passage. He makes some claims about his sheep, first of all. He says that he knows his sheep. Verse 14. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. So he knows the sheep, which means he has a personal interest in you. If you today say, I have responded to the invitation to trust Jesus Christ as my Savior. Okay. There are certain things you need to know, that you are justified, that you are being sanctified, that you will be glorified, that he walks with you, he's forgiven your sin, he's adopted you into a family. All those theological truths you need to know. But this side is saying, but you got a relationship with him. He's not a hireling who's purchased you and could care less. He's one who says, I know my sheep. I know them, each one. In fact, it says he counts the hairs in our heads, doesn't it? Which is a challenge for him with me because I lose so many. But that's the kind of care. He knows them. And verse 14 says, and they know him. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. So one of the tests you can apply to yourself, okay, about whether you are truly in Christ or not is, do you know him? If you've been in church for a long time, but you're saying, what is God really like? You don't know him. Because you get to know him over a lifetime. You don't just find him like I did when you were 10 and all of a sudden say, you know, at nearly 70, say, I wonder what he's like. If you find, you know, I meet people like that who've been in church all their lives. Okay, they said, well, I still got some questions of what God is like or who Jesus is. Well, that tells you something about the personal relationship. Because Jesus said, I know my sheep, so he knows us, and my sheep know me. So we're not religious in the sense that we're going through rituals. You have a relationship with a shepherd who personally cares about you, and you care about him. You relate to him in a relationship. It says they hear his voice. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. So someone who's been a believer for any significant period of time should be able to identify the voice of Jesus Christ. Now, I'm not talking about you actually hear something in your ear. Okay, God speaks through his word by his spirit. But it rings true. You say, I know Jesus is speaking to me. I know his direction. Okay. It's more than feeling. It's a spiritual reality. Because Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. You know that when you're reading scripture and something jumps off the page and you say, boy, that was for me? That's what it's talking about. Wait a second. God is speaking to me right now. And that's what his word is for. That's what his spirit is for. That's the presence of Christ. And it says, for verse 27, they follow me. My sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. So sheep obey. Remember the picture of the shepherd is they hear his voice and they follow him. It is the black sheep that doesn't follow him. But notice that he still goes after the one with the 99. That's a different story, but he still goes after the one that's lost with the 99. But they follow him. So they hear his voice and they follow him. And so those of us who are truly sheep, the question of obedience is not optional at extra cost. Jesus said, if you love me, you will what? Keep my commandments, and my commandments are not grievous. So if you ever use the argument, oh, grace saves me, therefore I can do whatever I want. Wrong. Grace saves me, and when I do wrong, grace still saves me. And you too. But we don't not obey. So over the years I've said, the question, if Jesus says jump, the question isn't why, it's how high. A little trite, but you get the point? Okay. You don't question obedience because when you hear his voice and you know him and you know he knows you, you know what he's asking you to do is right. Okay, the first thing about his sheep, that's the claims. Second, about the sheep pen. He says in verse 16, I have other sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock and one shepherd. He says, I must bring them. And then he says, there will be one flock, one shepherd. Now, in the context of the time, he's talking about the Jews and the Gentiles. Because the Jews said, we're God's special people, and you guys don't count. Which is why they had to have the 400 years of the dispersion before Christ came. Because they were always intended to be a witness to the world of one God. And when proselytes came to them, they were to be folded in. They couldn't go into the inner part of the tabernacle or the temple, but they could come to the edge and they were to be brought in and made part of the believing community. Well, they didn't do that because they saw themselves as superior, except when they were disobedient, which in both cases they were. Well, Jesus is saying here, I have other sheep that are not Jews. They are to be folded in too. So in the context, he's talking about the whole mission movement that took place after his resurrection that took place. But I would say the application for you and for me today is this. Are the only people who are supposed to be believers are the ones sitting in our chairs this morning in this town? The answer to that is absolutely not. God is not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. So he has other sheep, those that he's calling, that are not yet here. And we need to work with him towards the goal he has of drawing those sheep to himself. So sheep pen is much bigger than anything we could imagine. Thirdly, he talks about the claims about his signs. Jesus, verse 25, Jesus answered them, I told you and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name bear witness about me. So the works he did, the miracles he did, were first of all, he says, done in his Father's name, and done to validate his claims so that there is a believability about what he had claimed. And so the signs were not ends in themselves. Let me give you a warning. Today there are some people who apparently are practitioners for the kingdom who go around talking about the great signs that they can perform. Signs were never to identify themselves, but always to point to Jesus Christ. And the miracles that God does, even among us, are not primarily for our welfare, but to reinforce the faith of believers in God's care. So the miracle we had with Ken, okay, God loves Ken, he's one of his sheep, but didn't that buttress the faith of this church? Okay, you see the point? He's my sheep, he said, my signs are done by God's power, and my signs are done to validate my claims that I'm the way, and I'm the shepherd, and you follow me. I could ask Ken, and I think I know the answer already. Has this led, what God did with you, to a much deeper relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ? For sure. That's the point. And then he claims about his sacrifice. And he says his sacrifice is voluntary. Verse 18. Because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. God the Father did not say to Jesus Christ, his son, you must do this for the sake of the world. He volunteered for the task. It's a vicarious sacrifice for the sheep. I lay down my life for the sheep. He knew for whom he was giving his life. And thirdly, it's a victorious sacrifice. He says, no one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. If Jesus Christ had wanted to, he would have jumped off the cross and the soldiers who were all guarding him couldn't have held him back. Now, you have to believe that, or you believe he's a victim who's helpless. Okay, he was helpless because he suffered as a lamb to fulfill the image of the sacrifice. But he was not helpless. He vicariously put himself in the place that paid the price that we needed. Go back. I lay down my life, but he says, I do it voluntarily. I do it effectively. I do it willingly. No one made me, and I could have taken it up if I wanted to. And then he talks about, claims about his sonship. He says there is an intimacy of relationship. Just as, verse 15, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. You see, if you want to know the Father's heart, you simply have to look at Jesus Christ as the shepherd. Because I know my Father, and my Father knows me. And from all eternity, they were as tight as any relationship could be. Intimacy of relationship. And then the authority for action. Verse 18, no one takes it from me, but I lay it down on my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father. He says, as the shepherd, and as the sacrifice, as the son, the authority for everything I do comes from God the Father. It finally says, but we have unity of purpose. I and the Father are one. That defeats the idea that sometimes creeps into our thinking that when we read in the Old Testament and some other places of the wrath of God, we see God, the Father, as being this kind of mean, ruthless, uncaring being. And then we look at Christ, who's given a sacrifice for it, and we see him as this loving one who we can relate to. And what this passage tells us is the Father's attitude and the Son's attitude are exactly the same. Which means that the Father wants us saved as much as the Son wants us saved. But it also means, on the other side is, the Son will judge just like the Father. And the wrath that unbelievers will face at the end of history is every bit as severe as what you see of the God of the Old Testament before you see Jesus Christ. Because it has been given to him to do the judgment. He's the shepherd. He doesn't want to do that. Neither does God Father want to do that. And he laid down his life as a sacrifice. Those are the claims he makes. He says, I'm the shepherd. You can know me. So what are the unique capabilities of the Good Shepherd? How can he pull it off? Well, listen, I give them eternal life. Verse 28, if the Lord Jesus Christ is invited into your life, he gives you eternal life. There's a very dangerous theological position that says somehow we add to salvation. It's made its way through much of Western Christianity. This, I must have been good enough that he wanted me. No. While we were yet what? Sinners, Christ died for us. Okay. While we were fallen, dead in transgressions and sins. So he gives us eternal life. He provides it. It's all in Jesus Christ, who has been the broker, the one who reached out to us. Secondly, I will preserve them from perishing. They will never perish. Your ability to make it to the end of the race of this marathon that we're in the world, like Ada had, is not how much you grit your teeth and said, I made new commitments, has everything to do with his ability to hold you. His ability to work in your life and preserve you in that faith. And thirdly, I can protect you from snatchers, verse 29. And no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. You and I should be realists. We could easily return to the besetting sins of our lives if we do not rely upon the grace of God. We could easily be duped by false doctrine if we do not know what the Bible says and continue to practice it. We could be waylaid, and all of us know in our life experience people who started down this track and today have made a great veering from it. We all know people like that. You don't want to be there. I don't want to be there. Because he says he will protect us from snatchers. What's it go back to? It goes back to the relationship he's talking about. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. They hear my voice, and they follow me. So it's my challenge to you this morning. You got a shepherd like that, listen to him. Get to know him. Be willing to follow him. Because he says he'll take you to your great pasture and protect you from great danger. Father, we pray that you'll help us to recognize that your Son, the Lord Jesus, is indeed the great shepherd of the sheep. Help us to be sheep that are responsive to his leadership, who willingly accept his direction and want to praise him and bring glory to him and reflect his nature. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.